I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Now, I spoke to James Elder, who's spokesperson for UNICEF, who I'm sure you all know all about, last month. And he was in Rafah at the time, which is obviously in the south of Gaza, where most of Gaza's population have been forced to flee. They were told that was a safe zone. That was a safe place for them to go. Rafah now is under assault by the Israeli state. The Rafah crossing, the key point for where aid comes in, has been captured by them. James, you're a very busy man, so just get straight to the point. Just talk us through, firstly, you know, this was you were there in Rafah. What were the conditions there as was? And just that idea that most of the people there, most of Gaza population, fled to Rafah on the basis it's a safe zone.
Well, exactly, Owen. So people who have come to Rafah, I mean, most of them have lost a home. So let's start with the basics that they've done, what people around the world do, which is save up, sometimes for generation, put it in brick and mortar. That's been destroyed to rubble. So they've come to this realization that their home, their earnings, everything, quite possibly a loved one killed at the same time. So with all that trauma, they've moved three or four times, been told, right, go here. Then they live in a tent. Okay, they're living a tent in a sandy block. It's a day-long wait for a shower. So for a teenage girl or a grandmother or a pregnant woman, 3,500 people to a shower. So they wait all day for that. And they've moved from a three-bedroom house. This was their home. Now they're in a tent. Now every night, remembering in Rafah still, this has not just happened now. For the last 2 months, it's a relentless bombardment every night. I had this moment when I stayed there and I felt, Owen, like I was lying in a coffin. You lie there. You come to learn these ridiculous things about how close a bomb is landing. Okay, that's about 800 yards. That's about 300 yards based on how much your building shakes. For them, it's a tent. All right, so every night, that's every night. There is no place for a child to recover from trauma because every night they go to bed and their parents have lost the ability to mask that this is a horror show. And now they're told to leave. They've got nowhere to go, and we can get to that, but that's their moment right now. They're putting their things on the back of a car, a donkey, whatever they've got. As long as they haven't got an elderly person, or as long as some of the children I saw have got amputations, they should be in hospital. There's no space, given what's happened to kids. So they move somewhere. They run for their lives with nowhere to go.
I mean, just in terms of, I mean, I spoke to a Palestinian called Nahada, who I interviewed on this channel in Gaza, and he told me that we've been trying to get him out and his family. He said they've been forced to leave Rafah from its eastern area to Khan Yunis. We just reached, I can't describe what is Khan Yunis. It is totally destroyed. It's something like the end of the world movies, horrible, sad, empty, death everywhere, no inhabitants. There's no, I mean, just that point of the evacuation of Rafah, what that actually means.
Yeah, exactly. So Nahidi is right. I've never, in my 20 years with UNICEF, I've never seen anything like Gaza, like Khan Yunis, the city right neighbouring Rafah. So people get to return home. Just to add to your trauma of bombardment, then the last couple of weeks they get to go back 360 degrees on. Everywhere you look, it is rubble. So people can go there, but there's nothing there. Don't forget, people need health services. So there's none of those. The largest remaining hospital, the European hospital, so named because it was from European donors, that's on the edge, that's in Rafah, that's on the edge of this evacuation zone. Okay, so they move to a place where there's nothing but rubble. What's important to remember here is that we're told this will be a limited operation. We've got to move away from language because so often it's been disinformation. People in Gaza see for their eyes what's happened. When I was in Gaza the first time in November, we were promised from the highest levels that the devastation, the ferocity from the north would not happen in the south. Now, as you talk there about Nahida and what I've seen in Khan Yunis, it's every bit as ferocious, maybe more so. That happens in Rafah. Not only do we see many, many more children and civilians killed, but there's almost nothing left of the Gaza Strip then. And that's unfortunate what people in Rafah are thinking right now, because that's what they've come to learn. That's their experience.
I mean, I've got the impression that some people just, they've been forced to move so often, they don't think there's anywhere to go. Whatever they're told, they're not, some just won't leave Rafah, will they?
No, some of them won't, some of them can't. Some of them are just stunned. I spoke to a friend, Rawan, yesterday, anyway, the first day when this latest horror show started happening, she'd been aware she may have to move her family home. Again, family home, grandmother, everyone's had to move in there. Her two dogs, they're all out. They've got to go somewhere. She said, James, I don't even know what to pack. She was frozen with fear. She's bemused by what's going on. So some people don't have the means to move. Some people are so traumatized. There's a lot of sick children. There's a lot of malnourished children. There's a lot of children with existing injuries. Every single child is traumatized. Where do they go? There's a place called Almawasi. Okay, that's sand. That is literally either a beach or sand. And the numbers I spoke about with girls and mums queuing for a day for a shower, it's much worse there. Khan Yunis is rubble. They call it the middle area, Derryballa. Derryballa literally has rivers of sewage now because, of course, the sanitation system and the sanitation workers have literally been blown up. So when we're told of safe zones, they're called humanitarian zones now, which is pretty ironic because I work for a humanitarian organization. No humanitarians are calling them that. Humanitarian zones or so-called safe zones, legally and ethically, they have to be more than not just not being bombed. They must also be places where there is an amount of food, water, medicine, protection on that will keep someone alive.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
It's not there. It hasn't been there. There's been no intention to put it there. We've seen intention throughout this war. Indiscriminate bombing shows an intention, ensuring there is not the medical services available. In fact, a systematic devastation of medical services, that shows intention. So safe zones must have many qualities. They have none of those. In fact, Almawasi, there was a little boy, Mustafa, who UNICEF met a couple of weeks ago. Mustafa was in Almawasi, the safe zone, the safest of all zones, was shot in the head while he was going to get parsley for his family dinner. And when we met him, he died about a day later. That's the reality behind the language.
Just a couple of other things. The Rafah crossing is a crucial point for aid to get into Gaza, and very little, not enough aid has gone in, combined with the destruction of food, domestic food production and agriculture, roads being destroyed across Gaza, UNRWA, the main humanitarian organization, having a massive attack on it based on no evidence. We could go on. But I mean, you know, Cindy McCain, by the way, the wife of the late John McCain, for those who don't know, who's the head of the World Food Program, says famine is moving north down to the south. What does this mean? The Rafah crossing now it's been taken, in terms of aid getting in to those who are now facing forcible displacement from Rafah. What does that mean in practice?
So that is the exact question now, right now, that every single aid worker still in Gaza is grappling with. If you just try to imagine that people are hanging on, they are literally psychologically and physically, they are on their last leg, 6-7 months. It's amazing what the human spirit can do. And people are doing that, I have to say, on the back of their own generosity. People in Gaza are doing it because they've got four families living in their house and they take another family or two. They share their last meal, but they are at breaking point. Rafah is that lifeline. Rafah is where almost all of humanitarian aid comes through. The Rafah is for you. It's the water, it's the medicine, it's the fuel that keeps hospitals running. We are down to a day or two maximum of fuel for the Gaza Strip, okay? So no power in hospitals whatsoever. So Rafah Gate, Rafah Crossing is that lifeline. And right now, the idea of preventing a famine without Rafah, that's impossible. The idea of doctors who've already been operating, you know, sometimes without anaesthetic, now they'll do it without anaesthetic or without light. So it's hard, Owen, because it's catastrophe upon catastrophe, and it's somehow we have to get our heads around that this is actually getting worse.
And just very finally, you're spokesperson for UNICEF. Your priority is children, and about half of the population of Gaza, half the population of those in Rafah, they're kids. What? I mean, where are kids at after 7 months of just the most unimaginable horror? Many of them losing parents, many of them injured. I mean, what's the kind of plight of kids that you'd really want to emphasize right now?
Yeah, I think the thing that sticks out, there's many scenes that stick in my mind and stick in my senses. There's the smell of children's burning flesh on a bus as it came down from Shifa, because it took 3 days for a bus to be allowed to go 20 miles. There's the sight of children with just unspeakable wounds of war, the burns, the shrapnel designed to rip through concrete, what it does to a child, the broken bones. But Alan, there's also just the silence. Last month, when I was last there, sitting in tents with children who've either had their whole family wiped out, whole family, mum, dad, sisters, grandparents. I mean, I didn't think I'd ever say that sentence, and now it's becoming normalised. Almost just their silence. When I sat with a little girl, Shima, I hadn't seen her for a couple of months. I don't think she's spoken in a couple of months. So we are in uncharted territory for the trauma of these children. And yet tonight, as you say, more than one in two of all children in the Gaza Strip are in Rafah. They will go through as an intense bombardment, as we have seen. And it will be the same again. And maybe the next day they pack up and they move for the sixth time. So it heartbreakingly, but it's got to be on the heartbreaking. We've got to understand there are still a few people with power to put a stop to this. And they, I wish they could see those images and hear that silence of children.
Well, James, I mean, they won't. But well, they choose not to, because unfortunately the footage is often there, but they've chosen not to. But your voice has been so crucial in that, in terms of getting across the sheer horror of what's happened. And I know your work has just been so instrumental in terms of getting the message across about the apocalyptic conditions imposed on the people and children of Gaza. So do share this video. Make sure it gets out. Press like, subscribe, leave your comments, so that encourages more people to watch it and listen to James. But James, thanks so much for your work, and thanks for joining us.
Always, Owen. Thank you, mate. Good to see you.
You too.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.